I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome in on this Friday afternoon here with Gwen and Chris, or at least half of the show, Gwen and Scraby, of course, here for this show headed into the weekend. Tony Gwynn Jr. matched Scraby, and not a ton of news today.
Well, at least we got some pretty hefty news here in the last 30 minutes.
We got some late stuff that kind of gets us over the edge there. A terrific, terrific semifinal game last night. Between Ole Miss and Miami. My partner and friend Jesse Agler in the building representing his squad, as a bunch of University of Miami folks that I know was out and about. They got a nice victory.
Yes.
I wonder if he'll head back to Miami for the national championship the game is going to be held.
That's a tough one.
Great game last night. I really enjoyed that. We'll have Jesse Agler on in the 3 o'clock hour to talk a little bit about it. Rob Manfred had some interesting things to say. What was it, WFAN?
It was on the new Craig Carton show.
Yeah.
That's back on WFAN. And yes, I played a little bit of it last night, and I was like, Tony has to hear this and comment on it because part of what he says, I agree with. Part of what he says, I'm like, what world do you live in?
Yeah. By the way, we are broadcasting from the lovely Bill Howe Studios. We know how. A lot of things to break down there on that Rob Manfred thing interview that he had the last night.
It was like Craig Carton got him to reveal everything that everybody's wanted to know for like the last 3 months.
Somebody said something about something.
Yes.
Finally. It's just not a lot of talking around.
There's some substance
talking
to
and
it.
Shit. Some substance, exactly. We also got a little bit of a look at the national baseball schedule. Padres will be on Sunday Night Baseball 4 times. I had to be reminded today that we are not talking Sunday night ESPN baseball. No.
Correct.
That is no longer.
Yeah.
It is now a NBC. NBC, they're trying to bring in everything right now. They got the basketball this year for the first time.
They got football, obviously.
And
the Olympics.
Now they're bringing in baseball. The Olympics will also be, is always usually on NBC.
Yeah.
Man, this is, we'll see how this goes. What will be different? ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball, I think, over time had kind of lost its magic. Is that an ESPN thing, or is that a consumer thing in how we watch baseball? Sunday Night Baseball used to be a
staple.
All eyes on it event on Sunday.
I have to think it's announcers.
You think it's announcers?
I think, I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm saying that John Miller and Joe Morgan were that good. I remember the Sunday Night Baseball theme song as a kid. I grew up in a household that didn't watch baseball, but Sunday Night Baseball was on in my house.
I don't deny it. It definitely was. As I slide down.
Yeah, can I ask you, like, I look at Tony when the show starts, and he's like 8 feet in the air on this chair.
I just wanted to see how long I could do it.
Okay, you're back to normal.
Back to normal spot.
Thank you. You can see Tony on the 8 foot chair if you go to the YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan or Gwen and Chris SD. Also, you can listen to us on the Odyssey app by typing in Gwen and Chris.
You have that whole situation. What was it that broke right before we came on?
The Chucky Lozano story.
Ah, yes. SDFC. Chucky Lozano and SDFC look like they'll be parting ways. I don't know that it's a crazy surprise because of how things kind of ended. And although when I say ended, I should be a little bit more specific. Chucky got into a little bit of a spat We don't know with who, but he was very upset. He was suspended for, what, two games? Or was it one game? It might have been two. Well, he didn't suit up, I know. I'm pretty sure for two games, but he came back in the playoff game. You know, the SDFC makes the run that they ended up making, but Tyler Heaps, who is the sporting director for SDFC, you have sound on this?
I do. It's slightly hard to hear, but I want to hear it from him.
Okay.
We have communicated with Irving and his representatives that he will not be part of the sporting plans moving forward. That was not a decision that was taken lightly. That was something that was well talked through from owners down to leadership, down to myself and Mikey, and has been communicated with the rest of the group. So we're working with him and his representatives to find the best solution and the best environment for him moving forward.
So it sounds pretty cut and dry. Sounds like it's over. We're moving on.
Yeah, Tyler Heaps did that. He was all business, sounded like, right
there.
Yeah. And, you know, what I gather is that Mikey Veras is all business, too.
Yes.
You know, and so I don't know this effect, but there seems to be a culture that, a specific culture that he has built, and you wonder if Chuki's actions may have fractured that part for it.
But I mean,
either way, they came to the decision that it wasn't a fit, and it sounded like it had a lot to do with style of play too. I'm not a soccer
you know
guru,
more than me,
and so I don't know exactly why those pieces don't fit. But Tyler Heaps, the sporting director, certainly along with the ownership and everybody involved, felt like it was time to go in a different direction. So we'll see how they spend, because this is going to be either a sale or a loan. They said that they would prefer a sale. So
they just want to cut ties.
we'll see where this ends up.
If you're on the chat, because I know we have a lot of SDFC fans on the chat, just let us know. Is this a big deal? Big deal, little deal, no deal. Just let us know, and we'll bring you what you say as we go along.
It's being reported right now that the Diamondbacks are pulling Ketel Marte off the trade block.
I thought he already signed.
Yeah, he is already signed, but they were talking about trading him.
Okay.
That was kind of the rumor that he was on the block, but it sounds like they are going to pull him off, and now they will look at bringing in Alex Bregman. They are at void of the third baseman after Eugenio Suarez moved on. Are they traded him? Certainly don't want to see that, I'll be quite frank.
No,
I would hate to see Alex Bregman in that stadium. It's almost like Houston without the small porch in
life. Yeah. I do not.
No.
You know, the Diamondbacks they've spent some money recently. Corbin Burns last year. Now, I don't even know if he probably won't pitch this year because of the Tommy John issue that he had last year. Jordan Montgomery, he's not even on the team anymore, or is he? I have no idea because they hate each other.
I think they moved on from him.
Yeah, they re-signed Merrill Kelly. Zach Gallen's still out there, so they could bring him back, but maybe they are saving for Alex Bregman, which is not something I want to see at all.
Report, Yankees offer Cody Bellinger more than, let's say 30 or 20.
Dang 30.
The 30 minutes.
Yeah. 30. It did say 30.
Has not, so we don't know if, you know, where that leaves them.
Now, we talked about this last night or the night before on the Scravy Show, and Cody Bellinger to me would fit here, but I just think he's way too expensive. He's
not
a brand
million,
name.
Not. But look, it says right here, Yankees offer Cody Bellinger more than 30 per million.
But
30
gap
million,
remains.
But gap remains. So
like,
he wants more.
that's okay. I mean,
Scotty,
I don't know.
Scotty B doing his thing.
He had a good season last year for the most part. I don't think he's worth $30 million a year or more.
I guess you're worth what someone will pay
you. I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
I guess you're worth what someone will pay you, huh?
Yeah. In serious news, though, the Padres announced today, they tweeted out that they are going to honor former Padres Cy Young Award winner Randy Jones with a celebration of life ceremony at Petco Park on Saturday, January 24th at 11 a.m. Pacific. Admission is free, but you have to claim tickets in advance so you have your spot. So you can go to Padres.com and find that. But they are going to be planning on doing a memorial for Randy Jones on January 24th at 11 a.m. And, that's sad.
Yeah, no. We're going to miss Randy, for sure. That's one of those things, you know, you just, you're not looking forward to.
No.
At all. No, I'm not. I mean, I know it'll be a celebration of life, but it still doesn't replace that kind of void that you have not having him around.
I was thinking about him on the break on the drive up because, strangely, Randy and I kind of got close there for a second. And his daughter or granddaughter also went to the school that my mom teaches at. So there was several tentacles. And Randy was, he always gave me a laugh even when it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
And
I think everybody feels the same way.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to break. We'll get into some more of this Padres schedule that has popped up in terms of Sunday Night Baseball. That's on Peacock. Remember, we'll still have our biggest fan at 5:30, around 5:30, so make sure you stay locked in. More Padres baseball on the other end.
He just looked at me.
More Gwynn and Chris.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
2:17 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr. Matt Scraby, former Padre Ryan O'Hearn on MLB Network right now. Got his Green Bay stuff in the background.
Is he from Wisconsin?
I don't know.
We're going to hear from Ryan O'Hearn a little bit later on the show in the Big Five.
Yes, 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 we are. Scraby, during our warm-up to the show,
yes,
they had some... Was Fall Out Boy? Is that who it is?
Yeah, well, here's something that people probably don't know. In a radio station, one day of the week, a radio station's on. The next day of the week, a different radio station's on. So sometimes we hear ourselves, but most of the time I hear either Kixie or I hear 94.9, which 94.9 was today, and it was Fall Out Boy.
Fall Out Boy. I feel like that song came from like my high school era.
We're going down. Shuba dooba doo.
That's what I was saying earlier.
I have no idea.
I don't know
what
the words,
say.
But I recognize the song.
It's the music video where, for some reason, the guy in the video has antlers on. He has antlers literally growing out of his head.
I can't recall that one.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. But anyway, yes, that was on the hallway.
It started an interesting conversation between Scraby and I. He volunteered the information that. You know, this was kind of like his, that was kind of like your jam.
I'm proud of these moments in my life. I'm proud of going through as many different phases as I've gone through in my life.
Tell me the phase that you asked me about. It said, would you surprise you if...
Would it surprise you if you, or would it surprise you to know that I painted my nails black
and I told
for a period
you what?
Of time? No, you said no. I was totally like My Chemical Romance, Fall Out Boy, bands like that, painted my nails black, got my ears stretched.
You had your earlobes were
and I got that studded belt. I was all in.
So
all in.
So I feel like having kids of my own now, they refer to that genre as emo now.
That's what I would refer to.
I think back, is that different than what was referred to goth at that point?
To me, goth is different because I wouldn't consider, and I would have no problem, I guess, saying I was a goth, but I don't consider myself a goth.
What are the differences of emo?
Emo is more of like, I was going to say something that was like, I'm sad about my day.
Oh, okay.
Like, what? I just want to go and take out my anger. I'm sad.
Okay.
Goth is more like, they're not sad, they're just stoic. Yes.
Stoic, he says.
Emo is more skinny jeans, but that is not what I was wearing back in the day. No way was I wearing skinny jeans. Whoa. What? Tyler said emo was more poser energy, to be honest. Goths were hardcore.
Okay, okay. All right. As I said, it sparked an interesting conversation that kind of intertwines the now and the then.
I wouldn't consider the emo people posers.
Listen, I don't know. I'm asking.
SD Mike, emo is more whiny. Goth tries to look scary. I think we have different. I think we might, because like that's interesting that your kids say that emo is now or it's emo now.
Let me not put that on my kids. That is the perception they have given me. Maybe that's just me using my little bit of knowledge of what's happening right now, and kind of coming to my own conclusion. But I don't know.
K-Law says something pretty astute. I feel like goth is more lifestyle.
Okay.
Which, yes, okay. You're definitely, if okay. You're in a, yeah, if you're a goth,
all, you're all the way. You're
in.
Yeah. That's a great point.
And I told great Tony point. Before the show, and I'll say it anyway. To me, the goths were the kids at my high school across the canyon that hung out behind the theater at lunch.
And I was like, what the hell does that mean?
I thought every goth hung out behind the theater at lunch, okay? I loved my childhood, my past. I don't have many pictures. I'm not someone who's ever really taken pictures, so I wish I had more pictures of myself back in the day with my painted nails.
Here's the deal, though. In our era, we tried to avoid the camera. The camera was...
That's true.
We were trying to be...
You're right.
And I think, in essence, we were probably just living more in the moment at the
time. And also,
because
in high school, you and I had to use real film in cameras.
Yeah, no, you could just
like,
get
we had those little windy cameras.
You couldn't just get the instant photo.
No, you could not get the instant photo unless you were using a Polaroid.
Right.
It wasn't on your cell phone. But anyway, Tony thought that was really... funny.
I thought that was funny. I really did.
Do you think Chris, what kind of, never mind. We have to ask him when he gets here. I don't know what kind of high school student Chris was.
Padres will be on national TV a few times next year. I like the way they spread it out, too. It's kind of, it's not all front loaded with a little back load. It's kind of spread out throughout the season. May 17th. They'll play at Seattle on Peacock.
Basically, when I was looking at this, I was like, where's Tony going to be? Because yep. This is your schedule.
Fair enough. July 5th at L.A.
And that, I should say, is a bigger day for baseball. It's like Peacock and NBC are doing this huge like post-4th of July celebration, and they're having all 15 games being broadcast on Peacock.
I may
NBC.
Not be at that on that July 5th game, only because... there's a possibility that I'll be moving Michaela into her dorms, start her collegiate career.
Well, let's cross that one off the list. Uh-huh.
August 9th, this is the first one in San Diego.
The
on
only
Peacock,
one.
August 9th, 8 p.m.
I think that's Eastern.
That's got to be Eastern.
It's Eastern. 5 p.m. It's not 8 p.m. That's like, what was this, 1975?
We're going back to the days, huh? Yeah, 8 p.m. game against the Astros to have at home, and then they'll go to San Francisco September 13th. That is a 7 p.m. game as well. So
Brandon has a question that I think is important.
Okay.
Well, will Peacock still use the team's announcers like they did on Sunday morning
That's
games a few years back? I don't think so, because
Have they hired somebody?
Yeah, I mean, they have to hire someone to do the Sunday night games. I don't think that they're going to be using it. They could possibly when
could
there's multiple
what
games.
What they did before was they'd have a play-by-play guy, and then they'd have a representative from each team.
Yes, yes.
To kind of do it. So you have two color guys and a play-by-play, one from each team. I think Mudcat got to do it.
He did.
The 1 year for us. So.
And Don will never live down the one game he did on Roku. Kershaw's not in the booth. Someone said Kershaw in the booth would make me angry. Kershaw is not going to be in the booth. He's going to be a studio analyst.
He's
going to
be a studio analyst.
The more I think about it, though, you're right. Joey Votto is the perfect person for the studio analyst job. Why is there even a question?
We're going to get all kinds of breakdowns. We're going to get some... there'll be some props, I'm sure.
Yes, props. Joey, costumes.
Well, Joey's going to be entertaining. I really
he will
think
be.
So. I hope he is himself. Hope he's not too buttoned up because he's on national TV.
I don't think he could ever... I mean, I've seen the guy do twerk in a Harry Potter costume. he posted that on his own Instagram.
He is one of a kind, for sure.
He is certainly one of a kind. All guests on 97.3 The Fan joined us on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorney, is helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Tony, do you want to go into Dennis Lynn's article, or do we want to wait till the other side to talk about that?
We probably should wait till we get to the other side to talk about that.
All right, I got something for a second.
We can combine that with Rob Manfred and his interview with WFAN.
Yes.
As well.
All right, so on ESPN.com, Chris's favorite writer, David Schoenfeld, thankfully Chris is not here to just crush
bash
the guy.
Him, like,
yes. Like, it makes me uncomfortable sometimes. We've told him this before.
I want you guys to, when that happens again, you guys who are on the stream on YouTube, just watch Scraby's face as he starts to go in. Because I always immediately look at Scraby when he starts to go in on Schoenfeld. Who else do you go in on often?
Tessitore.
That's his
Bob Costas. I could keep going for years.
I always look at Scraby to see. That's my meter of how hard Chris is going. If he's uncomfortable, I know Chris is going pretty hard.
Yeah, I'm very uncomfortable with some of that stuff. But David Schoenfeld put out this article that's the under-the-radar free agent fits, and I looked through it trying to find some Padres news. Some people have linked JT Realmuto to the Padres. I don't know that that would really...
Who did that?
Ed reports.
Yeah. I think JT's going to be a little expensive.
I think so, too. He is a 35-year-old catcher, though.
Yeah, I'm sure he is, but he's going to get his money.
Here's the one thing that caught my eye, and it has nothing to... the Padres cannot let something happen. And David Schoenfeld is writing that he believes Luis Arraez has a fit with four teams. The Padres, the White Sox, the Rangers, and the Rockies. With the Rockies being first. The Padres have to sign Luis Arraez right now so he does not spend his career in Colorado. I will not allow this to happen.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be brutal for him.
Sign with the Rockies. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't.
It would be. Well, he's playing on a team that just does not care.
I'm willing to give the new regime a chance.
Oh, DePodesta?
I mean, I'm not confident in it, but willing to give him a chance. See if they can pull it off.
All right, well, let's give him a chance, but my heart.
Forget that part. I mean, for Luis to be able to hit in Colorado for a whole season? You don't think that'd be beneficial?
I feel like Luis Arraez's energy is in a spot where they're winning.
Listen, there'd be no one to absorb that energy. But
he's going to kill someone with some slaps.
You still got a job to do. Go out and play.
Cole says at least he'll play every day. He was pretty much playing every day anyway. Yeah, so
no.
I don't think.
All right, let's get to break. On the other side, we got Rob Manfred. He's saying some interesting things. He's actually given us some substance.
Some nuggets.
And we'll hear from when it won't hear from. We'll go over Dennis Lynn's article, the five things the Padres kind of still need to take care of before the season begins. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit Blue Apron. apron.com/terms for more.
2:34 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, Chris Ello out. Headed to Utah.
Aztecs. Favorite place in the world.
Yeah, he doesn't like that place very much. Aztecs taking on Utah State. Lady Aztecs taking on Utah State tomorrow. Dennis Lynn kind of did the athletic version of what A.J. Cassaville did at the beginning of the week. Top five things. I think A.J.'s was more top five holes that the Padres needed to fill. Dennis Lynn's is more five things that still could happen, almost.
Organizationally.
Let's kind of go through this a little bit.
Actually, real quick, Crisello is idle.
Sorry.
Yes.
Let me apologize, because that's right. We did talk about this. Crisello is indeed idle.
Yeah, but Dennis Lynn, do you want me to go through it?
Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing he asked was, why hasn't Preller been extended yet? And we asked this a lot, but they're saying that all discussions are going to take place in the appropriate time in the offseason. The potential complicating factor, according to Dennis Lynn, is that Eric Grubner got an extension through at least the 2029 season. And so would AJ Preller want an extension that goes along with his contract, so he also gets an extension through 2029? Or would they put him on like a Stammen deal where he's a 2028 contract extension expiration date? But
the length of
could
the,
he be seeking a longer agreement is what the question
I
is.
Think the length of the deal is one thing, but I imagine in the same way a player does, a manager does, that has went out and put up certain numbers, went out and guided their team to a certain level, a GM that has put together a consistent winner, I would imagine, wants to be paid as such.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we often are talking about money in regards to the players and what the Padres can afford. This is also a part of that very same budget, right?
Yes.
Is that it may not go in terms of player salary, but
yeah.
It is, I would imagine, you're going to be in the mills to keep a guy like AJ Preller. Now, I don't think does anybody know? Does anybody have those numbers? Like, what are GMs making across the league? Is there a publication that keeps track of that? I can't think of ever hearing, Brian Cashman gets paid about this much a year.
There's
speculation.
There's speculation. Top earners, $10 million a year. They're saying that David Stearns is one of those guys.
Okay, Tot's a top earner, $10 million.
High end estimates, $5 to $8 million. And
Where do you think AJ is in there? If the top end is 10,
first thought was they're trying to save money. AJ's got to be at the bottom of the middle. And I'm just saying that. Because that's what I think they want to. That's what I think they want to pay him. Not because they don't think he's worth it, but because they have to. Because they need to save money. So it's not like they're saying he's a bad GM.
Therein lies what could be a sticking point. And
if you're saying, hey AJ, we'll give you $5 million, and AJ's like, listen, David Stearns missed the playoffs last year, and he's making $10 million. I want, and he's only been there for like 3 or 4 years. I've been here for nearly 11 years at this point. I want to see some cash money.
Cash money. Straight cash.
Straight cash, homie. Another question, and I asked this to myself on the Scraby Show, and I don't know it's that big of a deal, but is his lack of long-term security, AJ Preller, influencing decision-making? Like, at some point, does he say, this is my last year in San Diego? I'm just going to burn everything down trying to win a championship.
You know, contrary to popular belief, that is not a thing that everybody is interested in doing.
Burning it down
just for the sake of burning it down and because you're going to move on. Not everybody is interested in doing that.
Good to know.
I don't know that. I don't think that AJ isn't that type of
guy.
Know
AJ. I mean,
I don't think he would do something like that. I mean, people can always surprise you, but I would be blown away surprise if he was just like, I'm burning it down because I'm not getting anything.
One day you show up to basketball and he's like, I just traded everyone.
Right. I'd be very surprised.
Yeah. All right. That's it for the AJ Preller part. But the next one, how much starting pitching do the Padres still need? They have, as we've talked about, Michael King. We have Joe Musgrove. We have Nick Pivetta.
They need one more.
One more starter?
I think they need one more.
Max.
Someone that can fill out that fifth spot. And it provides them with more depth, right? Because
yes.
Now you have J.P. Sears that's not a have-to option. You have, who was the other one that we had there in that spot? J.P. and...
In the fifth spot?
Yeah.
Randy Vasquez from Times.
No, Randy's going to be the four, isn't he?
Nestor Cortes was in the rotation a little bit.
He's not there. So maybe it was just, and I guess, Waldron, right? I mean, you got... It gives you a little bit more room for error, assuming everybody can stay healthy and pitch. I mean, Randy, yeah. I think, man, I would love to see Randy take a big step forward.
He's gotten better each year. If you look at his numbers, he is getting to where they want him to go. They just need to trust him, and maybe
they don't need to trust him. He needs to earn that.
He needs to stop walking so many guys and then tight roping to zero runs.
He got better by the end. Again, as you said, he's been better at the end of every season than he was to start.
Johnny Brito on the chat was mentioned. He will be back mid-year.
He's coming off of Tommy John.
Yes. Maybe, yeah, he was Tommy John. Who's going to play first base? Now, I guess they didn't take a big look at Kazuma Okamoto, which they were rumored to be involved with him. He ended up making 4 years, $60 million with $10.87 million posting fee. So he made a lot of money. They don't have a first baseman. So here is the current depth chart. Gavin Sheets with Jake at second base, and then a question mark after that because they don't have a first baseman at the moment.
Yeah, that's certainly something.
Luis Arraez, maybe. That's where we talk about him coming back.
In the Dennis Lynn article, it says that sources say that is unlikely. League sources say that is unlikely.
I choose not to read that sentence.
It's fine. It's fine.
He did say that, and yes, I kind of forgot that part of it for a second. But available free agents with some pop, Reese Hoskins. You like him?
I could do Reese. I think Reese would be good in that spot. He'd give you some sock.
Nathaniel Lowe is the other name option.
I like Hoskins better.
Me too.
I think Nathaniel's a better defensive first baseman, but I'll take Hoskins.
Here's the most interesting part of the article to me. How much spending room is left? Because that's the question.
This part I found interesting, too.
We're actually getting an indication.
Yeah.
Which Dennis Lynn is saying when they signed Michael King to the 3-year, $75 million deal, they were reportedly considering attempting to sign both King and Merrill Kelly, who would later wind up with the Arizona Diamondbacks. But Merrill Kelly ended up making $40 million. Michael King, $75 million.
$20 million. Over two. $40 million over two.
Yeah, $40 million over two. But what this tells me and you is that there's some room if they're willing to sign.
But it doesn't tell us how much
those
room.
Guys.
Like, how much did you miss out on Merrill? Did you miss out at all? I mean, did you offer $20 million a year?
You're like, hey, we'll give you five.
right. Did you offer 10? 12? 13? Like, how serious was that actually?
That's a good point.
I would love for it to mean that there's room.
I would love for it to mean there's room too.
But, you know, to this point, that doesn't seem to be the case.
The opening day payroll is projected at $212 million for the Padres, which I think is fair enough. Luxury tax payroll at $260 million. Remember, you don't get taxed until the end of the year. Which players are still trade candidates is the last one. Pivetta, they're saying. I personally, Tony, I don't think they're going to trade any of these mainstay guys. I don't think they can afford to.
The Pods?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's really what they're in it to do anyway. You know? I don't think they want to trade their guys. Now, listen, if there is a reliever out there that a team values extremely high and they can get a starter or something or a first baseman or whatever they feel is the more important piece, I'm with that. They got a bunch of arms. They got some good bullpen arms. They built it up probably intentionally that way. And now you might be able to use a piece. I don't know what piece it is. I don't think it'll be Mason Miller.
I don't think so either. Maybe Jeremiah Estrada?
Could be Estrada. Could be a Morgan.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about David Morgan for the fifth spot. Possibly.
The article mentioned Morty Hone and Estrada.
Yeah.
So I'd be hurt if either Estrada or Morty Hone went, for sure.
I was Cruz Schoolcraft is like the name in the Padres system for pitching, and I guess reportedly teams are asking about Cruz Schoolcraft.
I've heard his name quite often this offseason.
But those are the questions Dennis Lynn has for the Padres, and those are the answers that we have for the Padres. Now, Rob Manfred, WFAN. I've been waiting for this because I think Tony's going to enjoy these clips from the old commish, Rob Manfred. He was on Craig Carton, and now there's a possible work stoppage coming in 2027. So Rob Manfred said something here, Tony. I played these on the show last night, Scraby Show. He said something here that kind of surprised me, which is actually something you have been telling us for a little bit. But here's Rob Manfred on his concern over a potential work stoppage in 2027.
I came inside at baseball in 1998. We have always played through five or six rounds of bargaining, we have always played 162 mm-hmm. games, okay? All I can tell you is that when I came, my goal was to make sure that every time we bargained, we played 162, and that's my goal this time around. We haven't even started the process. Right. And candid conversation about, you know, we see things that, need to be addressed, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make this proposal or that proposal. I think we have to wait and see how things unfold at the table. We got lots and lots of time to work on it. And the most important thing for fans is certainly my goal to make sure that we played 162 sure. games next year.
Interesting. And it's interesting because why? Did he feel the need to go on there and, I don't know, it felt like he was trying to tamper down the two things. He was trying to tamper down the lockout strike conversation. And it seemed to be like towards the end, he was also, when he's talking about proposals, also trying to tamp down on the whole salary cap thing.
Yes, and the salary cap is in the next clip we're going to play, but... And I don't know what order these came in the interview.
It doesn't really matter what order they came in. It does feel like, at least the way he was answering that question, that he was signaling that at least it shouldn't... Because, to be honest, the conversation has really been a lot about lockout strike and salary cap.
Yep.
Once that all that kind of goes down, it has felt like foregone conclusion that hearing some of the talking heads out there say it, a foregone conclusion that A, there was going to be a work stoppage, and B, that when the work stoppage happens, the owners were most certainly going to offer a salary cap or want to offer one. That has kind of been the signal that we've all got. And in here, it seemed like Rob Manfred has read and heard all of that. And has went out of his way there to be like, listen, we don't know what's going to happen. We've played 162. We've made multiple references to that.
Yes.
All true, by the way.
Yeah. You might have had to play like a couple of days of doubleheaders. We got done. Got done.
It was a little rough
a little
there,
tight.
But we got it done. You're right. But it did seem like he was trying to tamp down some of that conversation. Now, he goes into the salary cap thing here later on, correct?
He goes into it right here, but Jeff says Tamper Down is the name of Manfred's emo band. But
down.
Yes, he actually was asked next
look
about...
what they put up on the screen there.
Franchises that have never won the World Series. Padres, Brewers, Mariners, Rockies, Rays.
They're talking about this on MLB Network right now.
I don't ever want to look at it.
57
They have
seasons.
The Padres listed first... So maybe that, no, they're listed by year of founding. All right, I'm going
to
move on
Go
now.
Go ahead, get to the next thing.
So Craig Carton asked him, Rob Manfred, about a salary cap being a deal breaker in CBA negotiations.
That's a Tony Clark question. You know, I mean, it really is. I have never, and, you know, really, until I got elected commissioner, all I did was labor relations. That's how I made my living. I've never been in a negotiation where before the first piece of paper went across the table, I or anyone I represented was out there saying, this we absolutely will not talk about. I just think it's a hard way to begin a negotiation.
If the
Oops, sorry.
So not a denial by any means. He just was saying, we ain't even got a chance to really put our faces together to say that yet. You guys are already asking. Well, it's because some of your peoples has signaled that. There.
Yes.
It's that we didn't just pull that out of thin air.
Yeah, I mean, you remember the whole thing where he walked into the Phillies dugout or clubhouse and Bryce Harper threatened to beat him up if he came in there with a salary cap?
You know who is certainly not bringing up salary caps? Players Union. So it's not coming from Tony Clark. They don't want to even have a a conversation about it.
I don't know why they haven't even started the beginning parts of this.
I think that's bull junk.
You think it's bull junk?
I think it's bull junk.
Which is what Deion Sanders says it's bull for junk. Everybody out there.
I think they may not have an official proposal. But didn't we read that they
some
had,
cliff
there,
notes?
There was some. There's going to be some. There's some meetings at least. Like you may not have exchanged real ideas yet, but
get it going. You have less than a year now for this thing to happen.
You know how it is, man. People tend to move.
That's
when
how
the timeline
I
gets.
Oh, that's,
that's how
I work.
Most human beings work.
I do my best work when I have very
up
little
against
time.
The clock.
Yes,
and so this is part of all of that.
Rob Manfred talking about the free agency deadline. This is something I actually really liked. I'm curious to hear what you have to say, but is that something, a free agency deadline? Should there be a period where you can sign free agents and that's it? Here's what Rob Manfred said.
You know, the proposal really was not about trying to alter the terms of deals one direction or another. I'm kind of a believer in you have a deadline. You know, you're going to make the same deal, give or take. You know,
right.
If you string it out. I think the reason I was interested in, I think that like from the 1st of December to the 20th, if we had a period in there when all that free agency activity went on, it's a great marketing opportunity for the game at a point in the calendar when, you know, you're not quite in the NFL playoffs, you know, the NBA is still kind of early, and, you know, it's a great chance to kind of own some off-season weeks, right, which is crucial to selling tickets, selling season tickets. So that's why I was interested.
Do you have that? Look,
it's an idea that is interesting. I like where his head is at. For so long, Major League Baseball has struggled to market their game in a way that the NFL does and the NBA does. I don't think that's ever been a secret. But there are unintended consequences, not for the big guys, the Kyle Tuckers. Those guys will go quickly in that first through the 20th time. But it's the other guys. And how does that work? I know the Players Union, and I saw Brent Rooker, actually maybe a day or two before this interview popped, which was yesterday, had tweeted out how anti-player having a free agent deadline would be. And I think that's what he's speaking to.
I don't understand that.
The middle, because you got
For me, if I'm a player, I'm thinking, hey, I get a job quicker. I have a security
dogs,
before Christmas.
The big dogs will get the job quicker.
So then put some rules in where you have to, I don't know what the rules are, but there's got to be some guidelines.
I'm not going to sit here and act like I do know what the rules would be, but if they're taking that stance on it, at least in the opening, you know, that does cause a problem. But it is an interesting idea. Like, it would be nice to have free agents flying off the board like that. But maybe the union at some point could explain. And maybe, you know, a lot of times when you get into these negotiations, that type of stuff comes out. And you kind of learn where both sides are coming from. They're not going to tip their hands at this point, clearly. You can kind of tell.
No.
We'll get into some more of this interview from Rob Manfred a little later on in the show. We got the Daily Gambit coming up next, 3 o'clock hour. Coming. More Gwen and Chris.